Today, our scripture lesson comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. Hear now the word of God. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning, I want to kind of talk to you about what's going to get you in trouble. Okay? So you can say about anything you want, and somebody might kind of scold you or smack you on the hand. You can pretty much do a whole lot of stuff as long as it's not too awfully illegal. You can make people mad and you can be a jerk and you can do all that kind of stuff. But if you really want to get yourself in trouble, mess with somebody's pocketbook, right? Notice what gets Paul and Silas thrown in jail. Is it really because they're proclaiming Jesus in that town? No, that's not what bothers them. What bothers them? They don't get the money. You see, now, let's be honest here. Paul doesn't free this woman from the spirit with the best of intentions. He does it because she gets on his nerves, right? And to be fair, she's right, right? This spirit is telling the truth, right? "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." And he's like, "Just stop. Get out." Now she's free. That's a wonderful thing, right? She's free of the spirit. She's also free of her masters because they don't have any use for her anymore. She was only good because she could divine things. She could tell secret things because the spirit that was within her could figure it out. But instead of being something that was freeing for her, it was something that trapped her inside. And Paul, out of a moment of annoyance, frees her for the rest of her life from this thing. And that should be a cause for celebration. And yet, instead, it's what gets them thrown in jail. This is a theme for Paul and Silas, right? They come into a town and they tell them, "Hey, you can't keep making these idols." They get thrown in jail and beaten and whipped and all that kind of stuff. If you want to make people mad, you find a way to hurt their pocketbook. And they come in and they tell the magistrates, these men are they're disturbing our city. They're advocating customs that are not lawful. They're bad people. They're really bad. He didn't really care until he messed up the golden goose. And so they get thrown in jail. They get beaten. They get humiliated. They get thrown in jail. It sounds a little bit like Jesus, doesn't it? They suffer a lot of the same indignities that Jesus suffered on the way to the cross, right? They're stripped. They're beaten. They're mocked. They're thrown in jail. And while they're there in jail, they get to a point where, I don't know about you, but if I was in that situation, I would not be singing hymns, right? I think if I was in that situation, I would be moping and woe is me. And if I was singing a hymn, it would be one of those psalms of lament that I was singing. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? That'd be one of the one I'd be singing. I have to tell you, you can tell by the way I sound, I don't feel great today. And so last night I tried to sleep and I couldn't sleep and my head was bothering me and my ears were hurting and my throat was all messed up. And I sat there just feeling sorry for myself, right? Rolling over, oh, I'm never going to get to sleep, never going to get to sleep. Now, in the grand scheme of things, in a couple of days, even if I don't get medicine, I'm going to be better, right? It's not the end of the world. However, in true man fashion, I am just dying, okay? And I don't like to not feel good. And I whine and mope and go take naps and all this kind of stuff because I have a tickle in my throat. Paul and Silas are in jail, strapped to the floor, awaiting God knows what the next day, right? And in the midst of all that, they're praying and singing hymns. I don't know that I have that kind of faith to be able to do that in that kind of situation. Because that is, when I'm hurting, when I'm sad, when I'm upset, I get wrapped up in all the thoughts, right? Anybody else that way? Where all you can think about is, oh, I can't believe that happened, right? Can you believe I did that? Can you believe they did? Can you believe he said that? Right. What am I going to do tomorrow? And we get wrapped up in all of the difficulties and the struggles. Paul and Silas sing. They sing hymns. And we don't even know what hymns they sang, you know, right? We maybe like the Gloria Patri or something like that. I mean, they didn't have Amazing Grace and stuff like that back then, so they were singing whatever they had. They're singing in the midst of the darkness of the cell with the bars, with the clamps chafing around their ankles. They sing. And I don't know, maybe they kept time with the chains, kicking them on the ground. Whatever it was, their singing, their noise, caught the attention of the other prisoners. And I like to think the prisoners joined in. And they sang along, and pretty soon it was a cacophony. Now, I don't know how the guy guarding the jail slept during all this, okay? Because I imagine it was kind of loud. But he's asleep. And they're singing, and pretty soon it's an earthquake, and everything starts to shake. And the earthquake happens, and the doors bust open, and their chains fall off. Not just theirs, but everybody in the jail. Which again should be in a moment of excitement. That should be joyful, right? What would you do if the doors to your jail cell burst open? I'd be hightailing it out of there. Paul and Silas stay because they know that not everybody's chains have been removed yet. There's still the jailer. And the jailer, when he wakes up and realizes that the doors are open, he's ready to kill himself because he knows that bad things are coming to him. He's going to be on the other side of those bars at best after this because everybody's escaped. Paul and Silas say, hey, no, we're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. I want to know how they managed to have that kind of faith. Here's my guess. I think they have that kind of faith because they know that the bars in front of them are not permanent. They know that regardless of the situation, regardless of what's 3 feet in front of them, regardless of what's coming the next day, regardless of where they're trapped or how dark it is or how much they've been oppressed, they know that they are free because they have Jesus Christ. In fact, he just, out of annoyance, cast out a spirit. That gives you some confidence, I think. And there they are. They say, you know what? I know we could escape, but we're already free. Whatever happens today, whatever happens tomorrow, they're free. They didn't have to worry about it. And they knew that there was an opportunity for this jailer to be freed. And so he comes in and they talk to him and they tell him about Christ. And he wants to have more of that. And he says, give me some of that Jesus. And so he comes and he dresses their wounds. He takes them to his house. Now this is a big difference from the guy who was ready because they were could have gotten out of the cell. He takes them to his house. You don't do that with prisoners. Who do you take to your house? Friends, family. He takes them to his house. And while they're there, they eat, they break bread, they tell the story of Jesus to the family, and everyone in the family is brought to Christ. All because Paul and Silas had the faith to stand there and not move, to pray and to sing, even in the dungeon. I wonder how many of us today are in our own jail cells. Jail cells of our minds, jail cells of our spirits, of depression, of the body, right? The body betraying you and not working the way that it should. Poor health. Maybe you're in a prison of money, not having enough of it and always needing more. Maybe you worry that what comes next is going to be even worse than what came before. Maybe you're like the guard. But here's the wonderful message of this passage. No matter what you think is coming next, Christ is more powerful. Christ is more loving. Christ will give us freedom. It may not look like we thought it would, right? Paul and Silas are free, but they're still in the cell. The woman who had the spirit is free, but that doesn't mean she has her own house and her own family and all that. We don't know what happened to her. We know she's no longer possessed by the spirit, which is an improvement, but she still has to deal with the struggles of the world around her. And so it is with us. We have to find a way to be able to be happy and joyful in the darkness, behind the bars. We've all been through 2+ years of times where some of that we were spent behind the bars of our doors and our houses, right? Some of us are still recovering. Many of us, all of us, are still carrying the marks of that trauma. Loss of loved ones, continued struggles of health, wondering what's going to come next. And yet, nothing is keeping us from singing. Nothing is keeping us from lifting our voices in song to Christ, even in the midst of our jail cells. Because when we do that, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't even have to be the right notes. Right? We don't know that they were good singers. Maybe that was Paul's thorn in the flesh, as he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, right? We don't know. And yet, the singing, the hope in the darkness brought all those prisoners to Christ, brought the guard and their family to Christ. Who might you bring to Jesus by showing your faith, your love, your joy in the midst of your own darkness, in the midst of your own jail cell, who might see Jesus in you and be made free? When we sing our closing hymn today, which is not right now because we're going to do the kids in a minute. When we sing our closing hymn today, I want you to sing loud and joyfully. Not because you're trying to knock the windows out of the church, but because much has been done for you. Because you have been saved. You have been brought out of the darkness. You have been brought into the light of Christ. And that whatever it is that holds you back, whatever it is that you feel like you cannot escape, you have Jesus. And when we have Christ, everything else is jazz. We can bust through those bars and we can be free wherever we are. So I hope that as you gather together this weekend with your family and your friends and you eat hot dogs and all that kind of stuff, that you'll remember not just the freedom that's given by soldiers and things like that, but you'll remember the freedom given to us in Christ. The freedom to know that above all, we are loved, we are redeemed, and we are brought out of the dark places. So let's sing and let's give praise, even from the jail cell. Amen. And now we'll get our kids up.